For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Now in prayer, as we come around the Word of God this morning, we praise you, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are the one that has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and we praise you for that. And Father, we ask that this morning, by your Spirit, you speak to our hearts. I pray that every person here be open to your Spirit and have a hearing ear and a seeing eye in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. This morning we're looking at keep tribulation and anguish from entering in. Keep tribulation and anguish from entering in. The state of our heart is very important if we are to live a victorious life. The Bible talks about keeping your heart diligent, with all diligence, and it's important for us to understand that if our heart is full of trouble and tribulation and anguish, you cannot function properly in faith. And so therefore, as you go forward in your Christian life, you're going to find all types of things will stop you from having victory. But God doesn't want you to have defeat. His desire is for you to have victory. Let's go to Proverbs 4 and we'll look at verses 20 to 27. We have looked at this a number of times, but of course it bears looking at again as we look at this with fresh eyes once again and understand that it's in our heart that there's going to be good things that will come out of us. But we've got to sow the right things into our heart and also make sure that we are guarding that the wrong things come in. Guarding to make sure that the wrong things don't come in. So starting from verse Proverbs 4, starting from verse 20, we see, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from the midst from thine eyes. Keep them," where? "In the midst of thine heart." Okay, your heart is your inner man. So keep them, the words of God, in the midst of your heart. Verse 22, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So when it says keep thy heart with all diligence, it means that you have to do something. It means that there has to be a diligent application in your life to keep your heart. Just like keeping a plot of land and keeping the weeds out and making sure that the right seed goes in so that you get a good harvest. It's the same with your heart, where the seed of the Word of God can come in. You are to make sure that weeds, stones and so on are not in there. The hard bits are out of your heart, and that the Word of God is able to come in and produce. Obviously, this is a key principle to having victory in your life. Verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And that clearly is telling us that out of your heart is going to come various things which will affect your life. Obviously, if your heart has the wrong things in it, there's going to be wrong things coming out and will affect your life as well. If a person is sowing the seeds of lies and deception in their heart, well, we don't have to guess to know what's going to be coming out of that heart and how it will affect you in your life as well. So notice what it says in verse 24, "Put away from thee a froward mouth," that's a rebellious mouth, "and perverse lips put far from thee." So we shouldn't be people that are profane in any sense of the word. Verse 25, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." So you are concentrating. You're concentrating, you've got focus in your life on the Word of God. Focus, focus, making sure the keeping of your heart is a priority. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. So one of the questions we can ask Christians, born again Christians, is do you have to obey the truth? Do you have to be obedient? Or can you are you made free just to do anything you like? Well, the obvious answer is that we're not free just to do anything we like. In fact, when you're born again, your spirit is changed. That which is born of the Spirit, capital S, is spirit, little s. So your spirit, the core of you, your heart is changed, and your desires now are to serve the Lord, because you've become not a servant of sin. You've been changed from being a servant of sin to being a servant of righteousness. And now you do have to do things that are right in the eyes of God. Of course, we're not talking about, you know, earning your way to salvation. You've already been saved. That salvation was purchased by Christ himself through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are to do what God wants us to do, that is to be obedient. So if you have a look at Romans 2, we're going to see here that by doing good, by well-doing, you're going to, as we saw before, you're establishing your feet, you're establishing your path by doing the right things. If you're putting the right things into your heart and you are focusing on doing the right things, making sure that you don't have froward mouth or perverse lips, making sure that you're seeking the Lord and you're keeping your heart with all diligence, if you make sure of those things and are doing what God wants you to do, that's going to have a protective effect in your life. A protective effect. We'll see that protective effect in just a minute. So we're looking at Romans 2, and we'll start from verse 3, and we'll go to verse 11 of Romans 2. We see here that there is a contrast, the contrast between the wicked and the righteous. So Romans 2, starting from verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which doest such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? So clearly God is against hypocrites and hypocrisy. God is not against us doing righteous judgment. In fact, he commands us to do righteous judgment. That's in John 7:24, that when not to look on the outward appearance, but we not to judge according to outward appearance, but to judge righteous judgment. That is a commandment. God commands us to judge righteously. Do you see that? And Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We also know in the scripture, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So God is not against us judging. He's against us being hypocrites. And we see here that there is there are a lot of people who judge others, but they're doing exactly the same things. Verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? See, God doesn't want people to justify and explain away their actions. He wants them to own up to the things that are wrong, get it right, repent. It means turn away, change. And that's very, very important. Notice if you don't, and there's many obviously who don't, there's something that they're treasuring up, but it's not a good thing that they're treasuring up. Verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, that's a heart that is not repentant, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and judgment of the righteous judgment a wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Do not think that what you do on the earth doesn't matter. What you do on the earth does matter, and what you do as a Christian on the earth matters in terms of eternal perspective in the kingdom of God. You don't want to be doing things as a Christian that's only going to amount to hay and chaff and stubble type stuff, wood type works that just get burnt up. You want precious stones, gold, silver, those type of works which are going to last even through the fire of judgment. So God wants, and he's got a righteous judgment for everyone, but it's according to their deeds. Those who aren't born again, what type of deeds are they doing? Well, let's have a look at what they're doing, and we'll read it as we go through here. So verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. Eternal life, it's not just living forever. Everyone is going to live forever. It's eternal life with God, who's living forever with God in his kingdom. So it's a quality of life. What we see here is some really key words here: patient, continuance in well-doing. We must be patient people. Faith and patience inherits the promises. You don't plant a seed, a good seed, and then say, the next day, it didn't work. I tried that and nothing happened. It's got nothing to do with patience, see? That's impatient. Continuance. You must be a person that continues in the right things. You can't be just a flash in the pan. You must be, yes, I've given my life to Christ. I've received the Saviour. I live for the Saviour. So my life is now Christ. My life is all about him. And so right through life, what am I going to be doing? I'm not going to be now serving sin. I'm now serving righteousness. I'm going forward in God. I'm keeping my heart with all diligence. I'm doing what God wants me to do. And as it says there, patient continuance in well-doing. That means that you're doing something. Okay, God expects all Christians to be doing something. You can do something by praying. Prayer is something, isn't it? That's well-doing. You can pray for your brothers and sisters. There are brothers and sisters all over Geelong, this city, who aren't in this church. You can be praying for them. You know how you can pray for them? You can pray for them in tongues. You can pray for them in the Spirit. You can say, Lord, you know where they're at. You know, you can be praying for people all around, because really there has to be a great wakening up of Christians, so that they toughen up, so that they get serious, much more serious for the Lord, so that their works as Christians are not wood, hay, stubble type stuff. You know, God wants many Christians, many of his children, well, all of his children, he wants them to be functioning to the maximum capacity. Praise the Lord. So we see here, let's continue on, verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek, what are they seeking? Seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, okay, contentious, it's argumentative, rebellious, what are they going to have? What's going to happen to them? And do not obey the truth. Okay, you're not obeying the truth. These type of people they're not obeying the truth. So that's different from well-doing, isn't it? But these people are not obeying the truth, but they are obeying something. But obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Okay, so what's happening to these people? Verse 9 tells us, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. So remember what I said before, well-doing or doing righteousness has a protective value for you. It's the way you keep your heart with all diligence. And the protective value is you're keeping that tribulation and anguish out of your soul, out of your heart. Because if you're doing evil, what does the spiritual law say? Here's the spiritual law in verse 9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Okay, it doesn't matter about your nationality. If you're doing evil, this is a spiritual law that comes into play. And it is no wonder that we see all types of things happening on the inside of people and then manifesting, obviously, in their words and actions. It's no wonder that you see this all around us. It shouldn't happen with Christians. Christians should know better. Because verse 10 tells us, but glory, honour and peace. Isn't that what you want? Glory, honour and peace? How do you get it? But glory, honour and peace to every man that worketh good. There's a protective value, isn't it? What are you doing? You've patient continuance in well-doing. You're working good. If you're doing this, you're not getting that tribulation and anguish, but you're getting that glory, honour and peace, which is what God wants to give you. But glory, honour and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no respect of persons with God. Okay, so as far as God is concerned, here we see people doing evil, people doing good. Obviously, if there are compromised sections in Christians' lives, they can be doing evil in certain places, and there'll be tribulation and anguish that will come as a result of that. So that's why I said right at the beginning, keep your heart with all diligence. Get the weeds out. Get the hardness out. Get the stones out. Make it so that your heart is able to be receptive to the word, the seed of the word of God. Praise the Lord. And this is so very, very important. No respect of persons with God. God does, as we said before, he'll render to every man according to his deeds. Now, we who are Christians, who are born again, have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And we see that there is a protective value in that, protective value in obeying the truth. We see what happened to the Galatians. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? There's a bewitching that can happen. There's other major problems that can happen when people are not obedient to the truth. Darkness can come in, and they can go into darkness and start to stumble, just like the wicked. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble, the word tells us. So quite clearly, we've got to be one of those that understand exactly why we're on the earth. We're not here to play around. Life is a vapor, according to the book of James. It's a very short period of time. You know, so to base everything on this very short period of time is utter foolishness in the framework of eternity. But God has given an opportunity to us to do something wonderful for him. Okay, this is that well-doing, that doing good, that working good that God is wanting us to do as born-again believers, something wonderful for us to do in this very tight framework of time. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to do things for him, because it will, the results of that, the gold, silver, precious stones, the results of that that can come out of that can flow on into eternity. You know, some of the things you're doing now can have a great impact in the future and get perhaps many people saved. You may not know that. You know, some of the words you might say now could have an impact on someone 20 years from now. This is why We can't be leaning to our own understanding, but we walk by faith. Not by sight, we walk by faith and we do what God wants us to do right now. And that leads into a wonderful future. Have a look at 1 John 2, verse 29. And you could see one of the traits of a born-again believer in 1 John 2, 49 here. Sorry, 1 John 2, 29. 1 John 2, 29. One of the traits of a born-again believer, as I said before, it comes out of your new nature in Christ. You're no longer that old sinner. You're no longer that old man. You are a new man, a new creature in Christ. And it says here, if ye know, okay, that's the spiritual knowledge you have as a born-again believer. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So if you're born of him, if you're born of God, this is what you'll be doing. Righteousness. It should be something that will naturally come out of you, to be doing righteousness, to be going forward in Christ in this. The knowledge you have is that he is righteous, you're in him, therefore, you are also righteous in him. You're no longer a sinner. People say, oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's bordering on blasphemy, really, when you think of it. But it is a common doctrine. It's saying, well, you know, I haven't been given the righteousness of Christ. I'm not righteous. I don't feel righteous. You know, they make all types of sayings and so on, but they make them up out of fantasy. We want scripture. Ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him, praise God. So if you look at John 14, you also see this whole thing that I've been talking about, the heart, keeping your heart with all diligence. And in John 14, we have to be people that, yes, we understand that in the world there is trouble and tribulation and anguish, but we also understand that there is a spiritual law. If you're doing good, if you're keeping your heart with diligence, then that tribulation, trouble and anguish can stay out of your heart, and it'll be like it's out there. It's not in there. It's not in there. Okay? So, looking at John 14, have a look at verse 15. We'll go from verses 15 to 27 here of John 14. Verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He says another comforter, and it's capital C, comforter, because he is one who is equivalent to Jesus. And of course, that's the Holy Ghost, who the third person of the Trinity, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. We have to have much more of a spirit understanding. When I say spirit understanding, understanding of where the Comforter or the Holy Ghost or Spirit of Truth, where his place is in our life. There are lots and lots of Christians that operate in their day as though the Spirit of Truth is nowhere to be seen. So they don't understand about the leading of the Spirit. They don't understand his operation in their life. They completely neglect the Spirit of God and his work. They don't even there's very little understanding really about how to be led by the Spirit of God. And yet, as it says there, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And yet he's in us. He's in us. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that time ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, not just one commandment, but commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. So it's all about obeying the truth. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So do you want God to manifest himself to you? Well, here's the key. Keeping his commandments. Okay. But the way some people are is, all the commandments have been done away with now. Well, yes, certain have been. Certain sacrifice type commandments for example, in the book of Leviticus, yes, they're no longer applicable because we have the one sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has not nullified his commandments. For example, thou shalt not bear false witness to thy neighbour. That's lying. He hasn't nullified the commandment not to steal, or the commandment not to have other gods before him. He hasn't nullified any of these commandments. What God has done is now he is alive in us. He's changed us on the inside. He's given us the power to be able to walk in holiness, to be able to do good things. We are now righteous, new creatures in Christ. And we need to, as I said before, be tapping into that protective value of doing good, doing what God wants, and keeping our heart with all diligence, because in that way, we will keep tribulation and anguish from entering in. Glory to God. So let's read verse 21 again. Verse 21, it says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So he links it to the word of God. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So the word of God is so important. So important if you want God to be intimately involved in your life. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, see, that's very important, isn't it? You want someone to teach you all things. This is something to really tap into. This is something really good. You know, we should be saying, thank you, Lord, that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, is teaching me all things. I'm not someone that's, you know, losing my mind or dulling as I get older, but he's teaching me all things. He's bringing all things to my remembrance. In verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So we can have the peace of Christ in us. We don't have to have tribulation and anguish in us. But you notice that he linked having that peace he linked it with keeping his words, with doing his commandments, because that's where the protective value is for the faith Christian. That's for the protective value. But those that are doing evil, even a little bit of evil, okay, let's not dance around the tulips here. Even a little lie is doing evil. Let's get that out of our life, that type of thing. Let's make sure that we are people that are doing what God is, applying what God wants us to do, applying ourselves, keeping the sayings of the Lord, doing good in Him. And that protective value, that living a holy life, that patient continuance in well-doing is what is going to keep us from having that tribulation and anguish from entering into our lives. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. That is something you can do now. You and I can do that right now because Jesus has said that we can let not our heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because trouble and fear, all that type of thing, you know, we don't have to have that in. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you today. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are new creatures in Christ. And Father, I ask that you continually remind us as we go forward what things we should be doing, and what good things we should be doing, so that we are doing patient continuance in well-doing and doing good and not evil. And Father, I ask that you impress upon all of us and show us if we need to alter things or change things in our hearts so that we come to repentance if necessary, Lord. Lord, we praise you and thank you that you are leading us by the Spirit of truth. You are teaching us all things. We thank you, Lord, for the leading of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives and in this church. Help everyone here in Jesus' name. Strengthen and show us your will and your way continually in the name of Jesus. And we will be diligent to go forward in you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.